What a reading, eh? I'm not speaking from all of that, but I just thought it was good to have a bit of longer reading than the bit that just... Because actually, there's some really good stuff in that reading. It is good, isn't it, to read Scripture. I don't know how often you maybe sit and read big bits of Scripture. But, you know, it is a valuable thing to do. It is a valuable thing to do. Now, this morning we're picking up on number two of our series, which is about being conformed to Christ. Being conformed to Christ. Now, just in case we didn't know, I searched up what it means to conform. And in the dictionary that I looked at, it says this. So, did you know that conforming means to obey or follow rules or standards or be similar in form or type? Okay, good. So, let's have a look. Now, when I was like 17, 18, 19, I used to work in the Little Chef, as I've told you many times. But so I've got a lovely picture there of, does anybody know what that is?
Olympic breakfast.
No, wrong. All-day breakfast. It could be called, but it early starter is what it's called. It was called. It's even got it on the plate. The Olympic.
I didn't see anything on
the plate. No, I know. You just saw the Olympic breakfast included sauteed potatoes, black pudding.
So,
yeah. Anyway, so for me, when I was thinking about conforming, I thought, well, actually, this is something. When I used to work at a Little Chef. If somebody ordered an early starter, it had to go on one of those plates, and it had to have fried bread, two pieces, one at each end, fried egg, two sausages, ration of bacon and two tomatoes, and it had to look just like that. So that, therefore, we had to make sure that breakfast conformed to what it should be looking like. It didn't mean that each time I had to put the same egg on, no, it just meant that you've got to make sure that it looked exactly like it was. But I also found out this week that the Little Chef still has a Facebook account. Though you can't find a Little Chef anywhere, I don't think. There is a Little Chef account, I've noticed. I've been online. It's currently got 24,000 friends. Still. However, it was last updated in 2016. So I don't think it's really being operated. So, but anyway. So that was, I just thought, and as I was thinking about this, well, that's something, but I also then thought, another bit, oh no, let's go back, you can see that our dog, again, last week I talked about it, just happens that in 2 weeks I've brought her up twice. We have Fern. Fern came to, we chose Fern just before lockdown, when it was COVID. And we weren't really looking, we were looking at dogs, and the dangerous thing was we took our daughter with us, and that was it. But we therefore bought Fern, who is a golden retriever. Now, there are many types of breeds of dog. Okay? Now, if you have a purebred dog, which is what a golden retriever is, it needs to conform to a standard. To ensure that you have a golden retriever, it should have X, Y, you have all of these different traits, all of this, it should have a coat like that with a the tail's bent, but there should be, you know, it's a fluffy, I don't know what, I'm not a judge in crafts. You know. But if you go to crafts and you show your dog in a certain breed that is a, you know, if it's a breeded dog, they will have a requirement. What it needs to do is it needs to have a right gait, it needs to this, it needs to that. There needs to conform to a set of things. So I thought, oh, okay, well, there was another one. Most of us, if I'm honest, I think most of us can recall when we were in school. I know I can. When I was in school, especially when I was in, well, actually both my schools, the infant, the primary and the secondary, we had to wear a uniform. There are some schools that didn't, but we did. When I was in London Road Primary School in Burgess Hill, there was an expectation that you would turn up either in, if you're a boy, grey trousers or grey shorts if it's the summer. Then you had to have a white shirt. then you had to have a green tie with yellow, double yellow line. You know what I mean? It's like stripes. But they weren't. But it wasn't even. It was like green tie, double stripe sort of thing. Anyway, we had to have that, and you had to have then a green jumper with a bit of gold trim around the V-neck. That's what our school uniform was. So that's what we were expected to wear. And maybe you've had that similar experience. You know, when I was in school, we had, and I know that there are masses of debates going on, even today, about school uniform and this and that, and size and length of skirts and stuff. I'm not here to talk about that. But what I'm saying is that the idea was then that we all looked the same. It was conforming. We're all ready to learn. We're all not distracted. But actually, I'm aware there was one school that even did it, so you had the uniform, but they then bought each child a bag and a coat to make sure, basically, so that everyone was the same. There was none of this, well, mine's this, because obviously you've got some people who can afford better things than others. So this was saying, actually, there is a level playing field. So, I'm aware of a school, I don't know if they still do, but they were doing that at one point. In our lives, we are all expected to conform, to follow rules, or to ensure things are similar in form or type. There are so many things in life that we are expected to conform to. When we are driving, we conform to the rules of the road on the whole. When we are in a queue, we're very good at queuing. I quite like queuing. You know, and there is a conform. We conform to the queue. Oh, there's a queue, let's join it. And sometimes you're in the wrong queue. Oops! And you have to move. Or you get to the end again. Actually, this is not the queue I wanted to be in. And you have to start all again. But we do, don't we? We conform to things like that. Or, I've got the car, the thing, this queue, there's the one. I just thought, actually, we conform. The idea is we're meant to be conforming to be each other. That's the robot film with iRobot. And actually, I know that even we do it in ourselves with our schoolwork or with our work. There is a method. You should be conforming to this. If you are manufacturing something, there is the BSI or whatever. There's a code. So if you're doing something that needs to be done safely, there is a code that it has to be done by. It needs to conform to that criteria. If it doesn't, it's not safe. And that's why sometimes we have these things on the news again, which is all of this stuff's being imported from somewhere else. There's a standard for safety, and it's not safe. The problem is that we, in a media-centric society, also conform to influencers. Do you know what an influencer is? Hands up if you know what an influencer is. So there are some who don't, that's good. So those of us who don't, an influencer is somebody, basically, who influences you. And it can be somebody famous, like Tom Cruise, or something like that. And there was one original, when it was the Mickey take, it was Wayne's World, and they did something like that, and they had the Pepsi, Pepsi! And it was then they'd stop and do a little advert in the middle of the film. So they were influencing others to buy Pepsi, or to do that. Now obviously there are other drinks available, because we're not influencing, the same as there are other restaurants available, that I talk about sometimes. Or maybe, actually, people are famous because they are influencers, just because they've got onto social media and are trying to sell things. It is all part of who we are. It makes us think about how we dress, what we buy. Considering the idea of conforming, this can have a negative impact on our lives, as well as a positive. And we have to strive more for the positive than the negative. As we come to consider our passage, I want to offer a comment that picks up on the worldly idea of conforming and influencing. God desires that Jesus' life offers us an example that we should strive to conform to, in which our very way of living is influenced by him. But the precursor to that comes in verse 28. It comes from a place of being one who loves him. So if we've got to conform to be like him, we need to love him in the first place. So a little bit of context. Romans is a letter written by Paul, in case you didn't know. It sets out important truths about the Christian gospel in detailed and systematic form. It focuses on sinful people, but that they can be restored to be a right, to have a right relationship with a living God, which was done by the atoning death of Jesus Christ, his Son. Paul then explains how this gospel can be expressed in daily life. Verse 28 says, "We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are chosen to be part of his plan." If I love him, I'm chosen to be part of his plan. What an exciting prospect that is. The New Living Version says of the reading we've had, "So he chose them and made them to be like his Son. Christ was first, and all those who belong to God are his brothers." In his commentary by David Coffey wrote, he says this, "Followers of Jesus Christ will become replicas of Jesus himself." Replicas of Jesus himself. God's design is to reproduce the image of the head of the family, Jesus. He's described as the head in the rest of the family. I made this week. It's a, well, plaster Paris thing. It's a dog, in case you didn't know what it was. And so I bought a mould. And I've tried to make another one, but this one's not going to be as successful, I don't think, because I don't think I put as much plaster Paris in as I should have done. So I'm just going to come over here and hopefully... Oh, come on. Yes, here it comes. It's slightly stunted because I didn't put as much mixture in either. Oh, come on. Here it comes. There we go. So I've then got another replica. It's not bad. I just the feet aren't. His paws aren't there. So, but anyway, never mind. Good try. Yeah. But this mould, I bought the mould because I wanted, as an illustration this morning, to say actually this mould conforms whatever I pour into it into that shape. It's making it like that. So if you do the mixture right and you put the right amount in, you should get a repeat of the same thing over and over again. So this morning, as we talk about being conformed, think about the mould. God is saying, you need to be moulded to be like Jesus. You need to be moulded to be like Jesus. I don't know if you watch the Euros. I watched some of it. But there were replica shirts everywhere. If you supported England, there was the replica shirt for England. If you supported Germany, there was a replica shirt for whichever country you supported, there's a replica. So when you watch on TV, you might have the 11 people in the team on the pitch, but there were loads of other shirts in the stadium. Now, they weren't official, well, they were official replicas, but they weren't the 11 or the 15, however many players, wearing the proper kit. I don't quite understand what's a proper kit and what's a... Because actually, a replica is like the proper kit. But you see what I mean? Yeah, there were lots of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, all wearing those replica shirts. If we're saying yes to Jesus, we're not saying, oh, I'm going to put on a shirt and say, I'm a replica Jesus, just because I'm wearing this t-shirt. No. But what we are walking around in our day-to-day life seeking to be a replica for Jesus. So actually, when people look around, they should go, wow, look, there's a Jesus there. There's a Jesus there. There's a Jesus there. How amazing would it be if our town was like that, that people would stop and say, stop press, I've seen 30,000 Jesuses. Well, there's not 30,000 people in the town. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, that would be such an amazing thing. Because that's the church doing what the church should be doing. That is what the church should be doing. Christians, we should be striving to be replicas of Jesus. So that he, that is Jesus, then is the firstborn among many. In our reading, it talked about some big words. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. Now, predestined, even before we were born, God had decided that we, or he was going to do in us. So even before we were born, he knew he was going to do in us. Predestined. Called, he has called us to follow him. You have all been called to follow him. Justified, then put as right with himself. You are put right with Jesus, or with God, because of what Jesus has done. Glorified, this work will not be finished until we arrive in heaven. Let me tell you now, you are not, you know, you are being transformed. You are not, oh, I'm a Christian, that's it, I'm there. No. Or maybe you are, I don't, I'm not. But I am being transformed so that at some point, when I will be glorified in heaven and I will be made new. So what does this mean for you, and what does it mean for me to be a replica of Jesus? I want you to imagine the following. For one day, Jesus was to become you. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. For the next 24 hours, Jesus wakes up in your bed, walks in your shoes, lives in your house, and assumes your schedule. Your lecturer becomes his lecturer. Your boss becomes his boss. Your stress becomes his stress. Nothing in your life is different. Your body is the same. Your circumstances remain unchanged. Your problems are still there. But one thing is changed. You have taken on Christ's heart. Jesus lives your life with his heart. Your life is directed by the heart of Christ. His priorities govern your actions. His passions drive your decisions. His love directs your behavior. What would it be like? What would you be like? Would people notice the change? Will your family see something new? Your colleagues, would they sense a difference? Now, whether you are at home watching this online, or whether you're in the Christ room watching it right now, or here, I want you to think about you. What would it be for you? How would you feel? Will this transplant change your stress level, your mood, or your temper, or your interest? As Christians, we're called to transform our lives, to be conformed, to be like Christ. But it needs to be, there needs to be a bit of intentionality in it. It's got to be a conscious choice to put off and put on. Dropping the old and taking up the new. Dropping the old and taking up the new. It's got to do with attitude of mind. You see, transformation is not a one-off thing. It is not a sprint, but a marathon. It's a daily thing, a consistent choice to put off and put on. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. The deliberate choice to choose godly attitudes and ways over ours. The transformation process is not passive. It's proactive. And it involves us. It is not something that simply happens to you, but something that you choose that you choose to happen. We must honour God with our choices. Not just the public choices. We might be able to do that, but it's the private choices too. Christians can be in a state because, yes, they are connected to God, but they're not altered. You see, we can have our souls saved, but our hearts unchanged. We can have our souls saved, but our hearts unchanged, because we won't allow him to be the king sitting on that throne. You see, the same God who saved your soul longs to remake and transform your heart to be like that of Christ. So, how are we being conformed? Becoming a replica of Christ. Lasting change does not come through a good program or good counselling or good opportunity. It comes from him. It comes from Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the one who hung on an old rugged cross. Being conformed to be like Christ is costly, but it's worth it. And we do this under the power of the Holy Spirit as we surrender to his leadership. And it is a process that is never complete, as I said, until we see Jesus face to face. You are always going to be in process. None of us are perfect. Our goal, though, isn't to become like someone else. Because that's the challenge. Sometimes we think, I'm conforming to be like Jesus, but I'm not like Paul yet. Or, I'm not like Sharon yet. No. Because conforming to Jesus doesn't mean you, like I said, this is where this thing falls flat. Because it's not like you put yourself in that mould, ba-ching, you know, Jesus is an example. No. Because, yeah, we are conforming to be like Christ, but within that there's slight deviation, variance. Because you're not all like me. You're not all loud and, you know, blunt and lovely. But we are. We're all different, aren't we? But that's what's good about the church. But what we should be doing, becoming like Christ, being conformed to be like him, which therefore means if we cut you open, your heart and the way that you seek to live is looking to honour him and to serve others. Conforming to be like Christ is not about making you number one. It's about making Jesus number one. We're going to share in communion. He could have done something very different. He elected to conform to what God had called him to do. He sacrificed himself. Perhaps at the end of the service you feel, actually I need to receive some prayer. Because I'm not conformed like Christ. Maybe I feel like I am saved, but my heart needs breaking, or I need to change my heart attitude. Come forward and receive prayer with those who are on our prayer ministry team. Maybe conforming means you've got to start doing something. I pray every morning. I go through the Lecto 365 app, but then I've also got another app which encourages me to pray. I am being conformed to be like Christ because I'm seeking to do better. That's what it's about. Seeking to do better for him. Not thinking, well, I've done it, I'm there. That will do. We can always improve. Because Jesus calls us to follow him.